prayer? Is there a UU concept of prayer that can be useful for all of us, regardless of where we might happen to be on the theological spectrum? So when I was a little kid, before I was old enough to go to school, I was watching, and I think it may have been the first time that it was on television, this Disney movie called Peter Pan. And in the movie, Peter Pan tells Wendy that indeed even she can fly. All she has to do is believe. I think there was something about pixie dust, but I missed that part. I just heard, all you have to do is to believe you can fly. Really, really believe. And then you can fly. And I remember thinking, well, that if she could really believe and then really fly in this cartoon, then I ought to be able to really believe and really fly in real life. And so I stood up on the back of our couch and closed my eyes really hard and told myself, yes, I believe I can fly. Yes, 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 yes. And I really believed, and I leapt and I jumped off the couch. Oh, I was disappointed. My mother found me crying. And the crying wasn't so much for the hurt of having the wind knocked out of me as it was I really believed. And it did not come true. And so for some people, this idea of prayer, there's a lot of different forms of prayer, but one of them that I think Unitarian Universalists struggle with maybe the most is this idea of intercessory prayer. That's getting God or divine being to intercede with us in present time. But as one author put it, if intercessory prayers worked, Hitler would have been stopped at the border of Poland by angels with swords of fire. Here's an image that sticks with you. The lure, the attractiveness of this idea of God intervening for us is undeniable. We sometimes want reality to change in a huge, huge way. And that's always been a long shot roll of the dice. Sometimes, of course, it's not tragic. Sometimes it's pretty funny. When I was a young person, there was a song that a woman named Janis Joplin sang, and she actually sang this prayer, and it was on the radio. You know, if you'd been around back then, you would have heard this. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Now, needless to say, she didn't get the car. Not even something other than a Mercedes Benz. So there's a second verse. She says, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for Dollars is trying to find me. That was an old TV show. And then, of course, she doesn't get the TV from God. And then she says, oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. So please, don't let me down. This idea that God herself is somehow going to buy us cars, color TVs, a night on the town. John Haynes Holmes, a Unitarian minister of the early 19th century and one of the founders of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, put it from his pulpit in New York City, it is useless to think that God can be persuaded by our prayers to suspend one single law on our behalf. He continues, by our prayers we bring ourselves into the knowledge and love of God and thereby gain more and better help than if suddenly every law in the universe were altered to our benefit. Now we Unitarian Universalists are a questioning, occasionally rebellious people. And if I mention the idea of prayer, someone's bound to say, well, prayer. Pray to whom, pray tell? In the Kudzu cartoon, Reverend Will Be Done, there's a name for you, is sitting at his desk, ready to write his Tell It to the Preacher column, and he reads a letter that looks pretty serious. Dear Preacher, do you address the Supreme Being as the Eternal Thou, like Buber? Or do you prefer Tillich's Ground of Being, or Whitehead's Principle of Concretion? Or do you use Hegel's Absolute Spirit, or even Otto's Mysterium e Tremendum? Reverend Dunn answers, Dear Seeker, I address the Supreme Being as God, but you say it Yahweh, and I'll say it mine. This is the kind of stuff we learn in seminary in Chicago. So some of us believe God to be a life force, and, you know, if you speak to trees or flowers or your pets, then why not speak to the life force as you envision it? And here's another big idea for me, anyway. What if the idea of prayer is not so much who or what you pray to, as it is the fact that you are trying to be authentic? It is you who is doing the prayer. It is you who is hearing yourself prayer. And for the atheist, we can ask, well, what if prayer really doesn't require an official recipient? Right? If prayer were simply directed towards oneself or to the universe. So, given the right definition, I think all Unitarian Universalists can pray. A retired colleague, the Reverend Glenda Walker, has written, prayer was driven into the closet by reasonable people who could not accept the metaphoric patriarchal God, which had been made concrete by people who couldn't understand metaphor. Prayer was driven into the closet by reasonable people who could not accept the metaphoric patriarchal God, which had been made concrete by people who did not understand metaphor. I, myself, find that pretty persuasive. I mean, it's important to me as a Unitarian Universalist and as a UU minister not to let other people, especially people on the religious right, because I'm over on the religious left, not let them define the terms for me. They're going to say, you know, a prayer is only one thing and it can only be done in one way and here's why and so forth, but I don't find that persuasive because, I mean, after all, the religious right says that gays and lesbian families aren't really families. And we don't really stand for that. It used to be a crime in some states for an African-American person to marry a Caucasian person. And in some places, it's still a crime for gays to marry. But we don't think that way now. We have multiracial families, we have gay and lesbian families, standing on the side of love, which is an organization and a slogan and a movement. Standing on the side of love means we widen our embrace. And so it is with the God concept, like we talked about last week, and so it can be with the idea of prayer. Is there something useful there? Now, if you page through our gray hymnal in the reading section in the back, you will see examples of how Unitarian Universalists pray now. In fact, our first hymn, hymn number one in the book, is a prayer. Rabindranath Tagore writes in our hymnal, Let me not pray to be sheltered from dangers, but to be fearless in facing them. So it's not like asking God to come down and keep all harm away. Let me not pray to be sheltered from dangers, but to be fearless in facing them. Let me not beg for the stilling of my pain, but for the heart to conquer it. Another prayer in our hymnal says, Earth, cure me. Earth, receive my woe. Rock, strengthen me. Rock, receive my weakness. And as Victor Hugo put it a century and a half ago in Les Misérables, certain thoughts are prayers. There are moments when whatever the attitude of the body, the soul is on its knees. Prayer cannot bring water to a parched land, Rabbi Heschel writes, nor mend a broken bridge, nor rebuild a ruined city. But prayer can water an arid soul, mend a broken heart, and rebuild a weakened will. Prayer is an acknowledgement that we have joys and concerns, hopes and fears that are real, that are important to us and the people we care about. And it's a reminder that if we stop and pay attention, we can feel a connection to something much greater than what's going on in our little monkey mind from time to time. And most of all, prayer can be an acknowledgement of gratitude, of thankfulness. In our hymnal, "For the sun and the dawn which we did not create, we lift up our hearts in thanks this day." Prayer can heal. It can help us feel at one. It can help us atone. It can be a form of affirmative surrender to a larger reality. Rabbi Mark Gelman says there are all the different kinds of prayers that you might ever have heard in your whole life can be boiled down into four types. So this is the big takeaway today. Four types of prayer. And fortunately for us, these four types are really easy to remember. They are gimme, thanks, oops, and wow. Four types of prayers. Gimme, thanks, oops, and wow. So that's it, really. Gimme is the classic intercessory prayer. I want that Mercedes-Benz. I want the night on the town. It's asking God for something. Thanks is expressing gratitude. Oops is a prayer for forgiveness, and maybe not forgiveness from God, but certainly forgiveness for yourself from messing up so badly. And wow, obviously, is a prayer of wonder. To me, the prayer of thanks and the prayer of wonder are the most useful. And if you have not made prayer a regular part of your spiritual life in the past because you weren't quite sure what to do with it, here's an opportunity today, and you're intrigued with this idea, and the best place to start really is with the thanks prayer. It kind of opens things up. As a 13th century mystic put it, if the only prayer you ever said in your whole life was thank you, that would be enough. The thanks prayer is good for children, which is why we did it as part of our big idea. At the end of the day, just before bedtime, you can ask your child, your grandchild, you could ask yourself, what three good things happened to me today? And you can, if you do this with a child, you can watch their face as they start to struggle with this idea, and then, sure enough, they will find one. It's a great way to reframe whatever their mood is. And basically, even on really bad, horrible, no good days, you can still, if you try, find three good things that happened to you that day. And then you can speak a simple prayer like this. Spirit of life, thank you for this day. Thank you for this beautiful, never-to-be-repeated day. Thank you for all the blessings in my life. My friends, my family, my colleagues. Thank you for all the people in the world, even those I don't agree with. Thank you for the blessings in my life, those known and those unknown to myself. Amen. And just like that you're praying, whether you're a theist, an atheist, a pantheist, a panentheist, a fuzzy theist, or something else, and you start with a prayer of gratitude. And the reason to do that is, if you start with a prayer of gratitude, then noticing those wow and those aha moments becomes a lot easier. If you're feeling grateful, you are more open to mystery and wonder that's all around you. And you enjoy the first source of Unitarian Universalism, direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder, affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces which create and uphold life. Carl Scovel, a retired UU minister in Boston, writes, "Regular prayer is a form of spiritual practice. Everybody ought to try it, even if at first they feel silly. There are many ways to pray and meditate: reading, chanting, singing hymns, contemplating flowers, being conversational with God." He's a UU Christian, so he likes that. He says, "Before God, nothing is trite. Nothing is stupid, and nothing is unforgivable. Nothing. If you know that, you can pray with your whole being, your whole self that you really are." Now, I believe that prayer can work for both atheist and theist and things in between, because for the atheist, prayer may be to the unconscious, for some people to a personal God or a God force. In any event, prayer to me is a possibility of immediate religious experience. That's why, one of the reasons why it's so intriguing to me. I mean, how else are you going to get religious experience? Prayer, when you're really doing it, it provides that. Now, in prayer, I can try and experience a sense of quiet, a sense of being spiritually full, a sense of spiritual contentment that otherwise just kind of eludes me in the busy noisiness of the day. The author John Donne had similar problems. In a sermon that he preached over 350 years ago, he remarked on the difficulty he had, saying, "I throw myself down in my chamber, and I call in and invite God and his angels. And then when they are there, I neglect God and his angels. For the noise of a fly, the rattling of a coach, or the whining of a door." Maintaining focus, that takes a discipline. That puts the word practice in spiritual practice. The trick is to always start at the beginning, because there is a prayer which comes before any other prayer that you're going to say or think about. There's a prayer which precedes all others. C.S. Lewis writes, "May it be the real I who speaks. May it be the real you I speak to. Dear God, may it be the real I who speaks when I speak on my deathbed. May it be the real I who speaks just before I am about to pass judgment on someone else. May it be the real I who speaks." The real I who speaks is the one who looks the spoken to directly in the eye, unwavering, ready to be present, ready to be still and open and available. May it be the real I who speaks. May it be the real you I speak to. The real you is the real you. It's the ear of the universe. It is not, in a way, as important to fix the identity of the real you as it is to know that it is really the real I, the one that I am and the one that I aspire to be, who really speaks. May it be the real I who speaks. And may it be the real you I speak to. So let it be, and amen. And now,